Hearty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sunny Young in Washington. Thanks for tuning in this evening. Welcome to the sunny side of sports.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the sunny side of sports.
Yes, my friend.
The sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports.
The sunny side of sports show.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Sunny Side of Sports. Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Stand up. Stand up. Stand up. Stand up.
Let's stand up and climb between the ropes once again with our reigning prince of pugilistics, Namdi Hollywood Moweta. Good evening, Namdi.
And a good evening, Sunny.
Namdi, let's take a look back at the recent Olympic boxing competition. Who did the best?
Well, Sunny, Uzbekistan, 3 gold medals, 2 silver, and 2 bronze, with 7 medals. Cuba, 3 golds, no silver, 3 bronze, at 6 medals. France, 2 gold, 2 silver, 2 bronze, at 6. Kazakhstan, Sunny, 1 gold, 2 silver, 2 bronze, makes 5. Russia, 1 gold, 1 silver, 3 bronze, makes 5. USA, the mighty USA, 1 gold, 1 silver, 1 bronze, number 3. Can you imagine Uzbekistan, number 1 in Olympic boxing, defeating Cuba and the great USA and Britain?
How did African boxers do in Rio?
Well, African boxers did nothing, really. If you remember the beginning of the boxing series, 2 of our boxers from Africa got busted for sexual assaults. We're talking about Namibia's Jonas Juniors and Moroccan boxer Hassan Saada. It was really, really bad for them to go into a country and then the whole world's watching, and suddenly, bang, this happens. And they didn't really show good side of Africa to the world, you know.
Namdi, were they allowed to leave Brazil?
No, they had to deal with the assault case. And then I think by now it will have been resolved, be sent back home, because I don't think Brazil is ready to put them in jail, and they'll have to go back to their home country and deal with it.
Namdi, talk about the preparation by African fighters for Rio. Do you think it was acceptable?
No, they did not really prepare for this Olympics game, because one, they did not really go to IBA World Championship. We're talking about the Amateur International Boxing Association World Championship that happens. And no major boxing tournaments. Lack of equipment. Take the case of the Nigerian super heavyweight, Efe Ajagba. He had no equipment to train with. He was just idling around in Nigeria. And there was nothing. We need to learn to prepare way ahead of time. We're talking about Tokyo 2020. We must go to IBA World Championships. We must also have our own boxing tournaments in Africa. This is a must.
Namdi, do you see these fighters from Africa turning professional, or would they stick around and fight again at Tokyo 2020?
There are 3 fighters I believe must go professional. The first one is Nigerian super heavyweight Efe Ajagba. Efe Ajagba is a puncher. You know, he stopped his opponent, Nigel Paul from Trinidad and Tobago, 2 minutes 44 seconds in the first round. You know, the super heavyweights need a big puncher. And it's an All Africa Games gold medalist and the Commonwealth bronze medalist. Tall, strong, he's ready to go as a pro. Reitin Okwiri from Kenya. He reminds me of Robert Wangila, a good welterweight. Reitin Okwiri is ready to go pro. Also, Wilfred Shey Nsegwe from Cameroon. These 3 boxers are the ones I believe they should go pro and forget about the amateurs, because there's really nothing for them in the amateurs anymore.
Namdi, Olympic boxing, different than professional boxing, shorter fights in terms of rounds? How does the scoring work in Olympic boxing?
Well, Sonny, for Rio 2016, they had to implement a new system. It's a 10-point scoring system like we do in the pros, you know. It replaced the computer punch count method, which was implemented after American Roy Jones was robbed in Seoul, 1988. This is the breakdown. This is the way it works, you know. Five judges at the ringside scoring the fight. A computer randomly selects which three judges' scores will go in to decide the bout. So how did they deal with it? We're talking about quality of punches landed, effective aggression, and tactical superiority. But still, we have controversies.
You mentioned those five judges at ringside, Namdi. I remember before the Rio Games, you told our VOA listeners that the judging in Olympic boxing often sketchy and controversial. Sure enough, during the Rio Olympics, about a half dozen judges get sent home because of their poor judgment. Your thoughts?
Well, people look at the judges at these Olympic Games like con men, pickpocket artists, you know, because they all have an agenda, you know, and you wonder why will three guys score a fight and the whole world will look at it differently. So IBA needs to do a better job of picking who will judge fighters, because now they're talking about using five judges for Tokyo 2020.
And what about that selection process? I know one of the more controversial fights in Rio involved fighters from Russia and Kazakhstan. Where would the judges be from for such a fight?
Well, IBA, Amateur International Boxing Association, picks these judges. And there's a politics involved in how they pick these judges, who will walk what fight, who will travel, who will do so. It's not clean at all, because what we see now, we see countries like Uzbekistan, Kazakhstan dominating the game. If you look at the medal table, I mean, it's not what it used to be. Like, we are Cuba or Britain or the U.S. will dominate. We've seen situation where these countries, the Kazakhstan, the Uzbekistan, they are involved in staging these championships whereby their own boxers are known by the officials.
Thanks, Namdi. That's our reigning prince of pugilistics, Namdi Hollywood Moeta. And we'll hear more hard-hitting commentary from Namdi during Friday's Sunny Side of Sports. Namdi mentioned the 2020 Olympics in Tokyo. Asia will also be the venue for the next Winter Olympics in 2018. Organizers of the 2018 Winter Games in South Korea are working to avoid the criticisms of delays and disorganization that plagued the recent Rio Olympics. Construction is proceeding on schedule on new sporting venues and infrastructure projects in the Pyeongchang region. The new construction makes up the majority of the $12 million budget for the Winter Olympics. VOA's Brian Padden reports from Pyeongchang, South Korea.
Construction crews in Pyeongchang are working to complete the new Olympic Stadium, the bobsled track, and other facilities. The ski jump tower is already in place. The downhill ski race course was carved out of a protected forest on South Korea's tallest mountain over the protest of environmentalists. Organizers say they want to avoid the last-minute problems encountered in Rio by completing all the venues by September of 2017 and holding test events in advance of the Games.
We are making an effort to ensure the Pyeongchang Olympics will be progressive and successful by having learned from Rio as a reference.
Highway expansion work, which is causing daily traffic jams in the region, and the construction of a new high-speed train that will cut 3 hours of travel time from Seoul, are the most expensive Olympic projects. Some local residents worry taxes will go up to pay for the Olympics and have complained their rents have increased due to the influx of workers into the region.
We hope the Olympic Organization Committee will take a look at our situation again and take care of our concerns.
The Alpensia Ski Resort will be the central hub of the Winter Olympics, with media centers nearby and lodging reserved for high-ranking officials and sponsors. However, there are no plans for new housing. Many participants and spectators will have to stay 40 kilometers west in the coastal city of Gangneung. The city of 200,000 will also host the ice skating events. Five new ice rinks are being built that will be operated for public use after the games. The organizing committee has opened a visitor center in Gangneung to generate public interest in the Winter Games.
Actually, the Winter Olympics is not really popular in Asia, so that's why this is very important for us to promote and what is the Winter Olympics.
Tourists who come for the Games can also explore Korea's ancient culture and practice quiet meditation at a 642-year-old Buddhist temple in the mountains of Pyeongchang. Brian Patton, VOA News, Pyeongchang.
Voice of America. I had the voice of America calling on my wavelength. A man was coming out of Frankfurt, I made. I had the voice of America calling on my wavelength. Singing, come back, baby, come back. Come back.
I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. The U.S. Soccer Federation has suspended women's national team goalkeeper Hope Solo for 6 months and terminated her contract. U.S. Soccer disciplined Solo for her disparaging comments about Sweden following the USA's quarterfinal loss in the Rio Olympics. The 35-year-old Solo described the Swedish ladies as a bunch of cowards for focusing on defense rather than attacking. Sweden eliminated the USA 4-3 on penalty kicks following a one-all draw during regulation and extra time. U.S. Soccer President Sunil Gulati says Solo's comments were, and I quote, unacceptable and do not meet the standard of conduct we require from our national team players. Hope Solo was previously suspended for 30 days early in 2015 for her conduct. She will not be eligible for national team selection until February. The termination of Hope Solo's contract, however, means it's possible the two-time Olympic champion with more than 200 international appearances has played her final match for the United States. Irish football star Robbie Keane says he'll retire from international play next week after a friendly match against Oman in Dublin. The 36-year-old Keane is Ireland's longtime captain and career leader in goals with 67 and appearances with 145 over an 18-year international career. Keane played for Ireland at the 2002 World Cup and in the 2012 and 2016 European Championships. He also captains the Los Angeles Galaxy in Major League Soccer. Republic of Ireland manager Martin O'Neill describes Robbie Keane as undoubtedly one of Ireland's finest ever players. Keane will play his last international match on August 31st in his birthplace. Robbie Keane says as a young boy growing up in Dublin and playing football on the street, he could never imagine the path his life would take. Robbie Keane says it's been a wonderful journey and his football career has exceeded his wildest expectations. Ivory Coast football star Solomon Kalou will miss next week's 2017 Africa Cup of Nations qualifier against visiting Sierra Leone after suffering two deaths in his family. The 31-year-old Kalou lost his father, Antoine, to a heart attack 2 weeks ago. And now Kalou is also mourning the death of his aunt, Fernand. Kalou is based in Germany with the club Hertha Berlin. He told the German daily Bild he's traveling home to support his family, and he adds that he feels unbelievably sad and empty at the moment. The Ivory Coast-Sierra Leone match is scheduled for September 3rd in Bouaké. The Elephants of Ivory Coast need only a draw at home to officially book their ticket to the 2017 Africa Cup of Nations finals in Gabon.
Friends, we can all listen to the sunny side of sports.
Yes, my friend.
Keep on the sunny side, always on the sunny side. Keep on the sunny side of life. It will help us every day. It will brighten all the way. It will keep on the sunny side of life.
Voice of America.
I encourage our VOA listeners to check out the Sunny Side of Sports Facebook page. The address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny. Once again, that address, facebook.com/VOA Sunny. You'll see photos and videos, and you can post your comments. So check out the Sunny Side of Sports Facebook page.
Voice of America.
Joining us once again on the Voice of America is Andrew Palcheski, the VOA's social media reporter. Sporty greetings, Andrew.
Sporty greetings, Sunny. Good to be with you.
I understand your opening pitch is right here in Washington.
Yes. Yes, it is. I like that. That's good. That's good. So, yeah, as we talked about yesterday, Katie Ledecky, the American swimmer who did quite well for herself in Rio, was throwing out the opening pitch at the Washington Nationals Baltimore Orioles Major League Baseball game here in Washington. And we have an Instagram post from Bryce Harper, one of the marquee players for the Nationals and one of the best players in baseball. Because what Katie Ledecky did, as we speculated, we said, was she going to wear the medals or not when she goes out there? Well, she wore the medals when she went out there, and she handed them off one by one to Bryce Harper, saying, can you hold these for me while I throw out this opening pitch? So he put a picture of that up on his Instagram, and he said it was a pleasure holding something so valuable and important to this great country. He said, 2020 Olympics, here I come. I need to get one of my own so I don't have to just hold Katie's. So we'll see if he does get one if the U.S. Participates in Major League Baseball. There was no Major League baseball, in the 2016 Olympics. But in 2020, maybe Bryce Harper can bring himself a gold. We'll see.
I watched the video of Katie Ledecky's toss. I think she was wearing a Nationals cap, Andrew.
I think so.
I wasn't quite sure.
A good choice because it's the home team. She doesn't want to upset the home team fans there in D.C. I wonder if she was up in Baltimore, maybe she would have been wearing an Orioles jersey. But it was a good pitch, too, actually.
It was
the video,
a good pitch.
Video
it was
of the pitch across social media, she got it right across the plate. So it could be another career for her, maybe playing some baseball or something. Who knows?
But. Katie Ledecky, a future Olympic baseball player, maybe.
Maybe. Who knows? We shall see. The swimming's working out pretty well for her, so
yeah,
she'll probably stick with that.
I think so.
Yeah.
What else is trending, Andrew?
Well, sticking with some Olympic folks, and this is probably the last Olympic thing we'll talk about because we've talked about it so much, but these two cases of U.S. Olympians getting in a bit of trouble. Of course, we've been talking about Ryan Lochte, the swimmer who had that incident at the gas station where he said he was held up at gunpoint. Turns out that was a lie. Well, he has announced that as part of, I guess, his reputation recovery tour, he is going on Dancing with the Stars. So he's going from the pool to the dance floor. So people saying this is part of his apology tour.
Saying something
to rebuild his image. Now, you have Ryan Lochte in trouble. He's going to Dancing with the Stars. Hope Solo, the goalkeeper for the U.S. women's soccer team, got in trouble. She called Team Sweden a bunch of cowards after the U.S. lost to them, and she got suspended for 6 months. A lot of people on social media noting the discrepancy between these two athletes, saying, why is Hope Solo, because she called them cowards, she's getting suspended for 6 months? Why is Ryan Lochte getting kind of rewarded and getting to go on Dancing with the Stars after what he did?
Interesting. I was chatting with Kim Lewis, co-host of our Africa News Tonight program, Andrew, and she said she doesn't think it's right for Lochte to be sort of rewarded with a TV guest appearance.
Well, that's what a lot of people are saying on social media, and they're saying that he should face a harsh suspension because of what he did. Now, the other interesting dichotomy between these two is that Ryan Lochte has been kind of silent on social media for the past 5 or 6 days, ever since this happened. Hope Solo has come out immediately on social media and put out a statement saying that she could not be the player who she is without being the person who she is, and even when she doesn't make the best choices or say the right things. And she's kind of saying that she's pursuing these causes and her passion for the game. So even though she may say the wrong thing sometimes, she's still going to keep doing that and still fighting and still be a player. So it's interesting that she's come out and tried to make this statement. Ryan Lochte made a statement on social media, but has been quiet since then. We'll see if she, Hope Solo, comes out and does any kind of apology tour after she made this statement. But she said basically that I stand by my words, and they may not always be the best words that I use, but I'm still going to be that fierce competitor.
Hope Solo, a little older than Ryan Lochte. I think Solo's 35, Lochte's 32. Lochte says he still wants to swim some more. I guess Hope Solo's international career in football very much in doubt at this point.
It could be. It could be. But then again, so is Ryan Lochte's as far as his immediate career. People still calling for that suspension, and we'll see if that gets handed down.
Andrew, what else is trending in the sports world?
Well, one of the big Olympic success stories for the U.S. was the U.S. women's basketball team winning gold. And just after the Olympics, leading from that gold medal, that high of getting the gold, we're going into the WNBA season, the Women's National Basketball Association season that kicks off tomorrow. And as part of this season, it's not just any season, it's the 20th anniversary season of the WNBA. So what the WNBA is doing is taking to social media with a campaign, hashtag WNBA Super 20, and hashtag watch me work. Mm. And what they've done is they put together a social media video, a digital video with some of the key players, and they are showing how they work and compete and really trying to draw attention to the WNBA in this marquee year for them, this 20 year for them.
Let me give three quick shout outs for members of that victorious USA Olympic women's basketball team, which won a sixth consecutive gold medal in Rio. Sue Bird, Diana Taurasi, and Tamika Catchings all won their fourth gold medal of their careers in Rio. Are they trending in terms of the WNBA, Andrew?
They are, and it's funny that you mention those three names because number 10, Tamika Catchings, number 9, Sue Bird, and number 8, Diana Taurasi on the list of top 10 most popular WNBA jerseys that they've just released. So those three making the top 10, along with several other players who were on that squad. Number 3, Elena Deladon, arguably the best player right now in the Women's National Basketball Association. She was number 3 on the list. But number 1, Brianna Stewart. She of the Seattle Storm was the most popular WNBA jersey sold this past year. So congratulations to her.
I believe Brianna was also the youngest member of the USA's Olympic women's basketball team, just 21 years old.
Yeah, and she's had 21 years old, and she's got a gold medal and the top-selling jersey. So she's having quite a week. She's doing really good for herself. But, you know, no surprise, Brianna Stewart and Sue Bird on the Seattle Storm, Seattle Storm being the number one team as far as most popular merchandise. So certainly those jerseys helping to drive that.
Seattle, big sports town, isn't it, in terms of professional sports franchises?
Absolutely. You've got the Seattle Mariners in the MLB. You've got the Seattle Seahawks in the National Football League. But there's another city that might be trying to supplant them, and that's Las Vegas, Nevada, home of, you know, gambling and all the big flashy shows
casinos.
And everything. Casinos. Well, they're getting a National Hockey League team next season, and there's a rumor that they could be getting a football team. The Oakland Raiders have apparently registered the trademark for the Las Vegas Raiders. So there's a lot of speculation on social media that they could be getting a National Football League team in the near future.
Andrew Palcheski, the VOA's social media reporter. Thank you, Andrew.
Thank you.
And that wraps up the August 25th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Jonah Cummings. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the sunny side of sports.
I get it.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
One of the early and most significant changes made by the administration of President Barack Obama was the elevation of development as a key element of U.S. foreign policy on an even footing with diplomacy and defense. Among the top objectives of U.S. development policy was to achieve sustained and inclusive economic growth, democratic governance, game-changing innovations, leveraging new partners and multiple sources of development financing, and building sustainable systems to meet basic human needs. Instead of government going it alone, we've developed partnerships with multilateral organizations and civil society, and the private sector and faith communities, and most importantly, people on the ground. Instead of government just sending foreign aid, we're leveraging new sources of funding, committing and mobilizing more than $100 billion from the private sector and other partners to promote development and save lives. President Obama's signature development initiatives, such as Feed the Future and Power Africa, many of which build on programs begun by previous administrations, have marked tremendous successes, said President Obama.
We've saved over 60 million lives from measles and malaria and tuberculosis. We've slashed HIV/AIDS infections and deaths. Across the developing world, incomes have gone up. Tens of millions of boys and girls are in school. Millions have gained access to clean energy, helping to mitigate the threat of climate change. In just the past 25 years, more than 1 billion people have been lifted out of extreme poverty. 1 billion.
U.S. investment in global development is a key element of our foreign policy, not just because it helps improve the lives of millions of people, but also because it is crucial to global stability and therefore our own security, said President Obama. We know there's a correlation between no education and no jobs, no hope, the violation of basic human dignity, and conflict and instability. So development isn't charity. It's one of the smartest investments we can make in our shared future, in our security and our prosperity.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Democracy in action. That's what the U.S. presidential election is all about. Who's going to be the new president of the United States come November 8th? Tune in to VOA's coverage of the 2016 presidential election. Reports, expert analysis, and more. Professional, up-to-the-minute coverage that can't be found anywhere else. Right here on VOA.
Interested in deeper analysis of news and events in Africa? Then plan to join me, Douglas Impuga, on Reporters Roundtable every Thursday at 17:30 UTC. We'll have African journalists and expert guests discuss the topic at hand. We take a deeper look at important African news topics. So plan to be with us every Thursday at 17:30 UTC, right here on VOA Africa.
Are you wandering around lost in a musical desert? Well, follow your ears to the fantastic, the one and only African music mix on The Voice of America. Bathe yourself in this musical oasis. from the north to the south and from the east to the west. The African Music Mix plays only the best. Yes, sir.
Tune in at 200, 300, 1200, and 1300 UTC GMT. Every day, right here on VOA Africa.